everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
I got to blame you on that one, Michael, for we're bringing Mark Johnson in, and you intro with the CSU, former CSU running back.
Well, I'm trying to give Washington some luck because I don't think Washington's very good this year, and Washington's playing CU, so I have to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have to mess with the CU broadcasters this year.
I see where you're going with that. All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, I know we got to get into some football, but I tell you, I am really intrigued. This Paradise Jam, you got the Buffs on one side of the bracket and the Rams on the other. Wouldn't you just love to see them meet up at the end of this thing?
Well, that'd be awful fun, but first off, so you lead into me with a Ram.
Yeah.
And then I saw the other day on Twitter you had some big photo of all your contributors. I didn't even make the cut for that photo. Man. I'm like Ronnie Dangerfield. There's just no respect anymore.
You know, so in my defense, and I looked it up to see why that happens, it's actually more on you, Mark. It's retweets. It's all retweets and people that like you. So you got to start liking my stuff more, and I think that's it.
That's what it is.
From now on, I'm going to just start tweeting stuff, and I'm just going to start tweeting like stuff that you would appreciate, like Buffalo stuff, nature stuff, and I think I'll be in your wheelhouse.
Sure. No, I get it. But, yeah, you know, and by the way, just on top of the – you know, the Ram stuff and all that, I'm not down in the Virgin Islands with the Buffaloes, so it's just another gut shot for me.
Mm.
Staying back to do football this week, and I got to handle a couple of women's basketball games. But, yes, that would be awful fun to see the Buffs and the Rams meet in the championship game of that. But I'll tell you what, I know that when you look at the field of that tournament, you know, you look at Duquesne and you look at Bradley and you look at the Buffs playing Southern Illinois in the first round, and I think Northeastern's on the Buff side, and you look at the field, maybe for your average college basketball fan, you look at that field and you probably don't go, well, that's a great field. But for people inside college basketball, they look at that field and go, there are some very good teams in there. So if the Rams and Buffs are going to meet in the title game of the Paradise Jam, they've got some work to do those first couple of games, I guarantee you.
Yeah, no question about it. But, Mark, isn't it so much fun, though? And, again, I know you can't say that you're excited about the Rams at all. It's probably on your contract somewhere. But it is really fun. I mean, we've got the Bears playing Texas tonight. Basketball is really fun in the area. I know football is not quite done yet, but let's face it, football's been miserable in every facet for us fans. Basketball, though, we've got a lot of excitement surrounding some of these college teams.
You know how they always say, you know, that I could say something about my brother or my sister, but you can't, right? One of those kind of deals. you know, I kind of feel that way when I look at the other schools in the state. Obviously, I'm the voice of the Buffs, but I like to see when CSU or Air Force or Northern Colorado or even Wyoming, for that matter, you know, do well, as long as it's not against Colorado. So as long as, you know, when the Buffs play any one of those schools, they win, I'm fantastically fine with it. And then when those other teams go on and do exceptionally well, fantastic. It's great for the state of Colorado. So I like all of those schools until they play Colorado. Those days, I don't like them.
You and I talked about this, gosh, it's been a few years ago, Mark, but I think I asked you if this state could ever kind of become more of a basketball state because of the college scene. And my first thought there is, okay, that could happen, but Tad Boyle and the Buffs got to be the ones to lead the way. And that's no disrespect for CSU, but I'm just looking at the collective body of work that the Buffs have had with Tad Boyle. So I'll ask again. I mean, with a lot of excitement around this state, don't you get the feeling that it could be a basketball state? I know Broncos country, but a basketball state.
Well, you know, yeah, Broncos country without question. But, you know, I tell you what, when you got a team that can't compete for a division championship and has made the playoff for 4 or 5 years, you know, that gets stretched as well. That's always going to be a love for all of us here in the state of Colorado. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's easier. Well, let's put it this way. It's easier to become a very solid basketball program than it is a football program because the numbers involved, obviously, and the budget's involved. And so you can turn a basketball program very quickly, where with a football program, you need enormous, you know, recruiting classes year after year for a number of years to really get things rolling. So it certainly is possible. And right now there's some very good college basketball being played in this state, no doubt about that.
Are you shocked at all by the Buffs starting out 3-0? Because we knew, hey, a young team for the most part, but hey, so far so good. And as you mentioned, it's a tough tournament coming up, but 3-0, I mean, that looks nice on the win-loss record.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, I mean, obviously that last game the other night on Monday night when they win by, was it 44, 45, whatever it was. I mean, you know, when I saw that one on the schedule, I figured that one would be pretty easy. Those first two are pretty salty games now. Montana State, I don't need to tell you know, Big Sky fans there from Northern Colorado about how good they can be. Yeah, they're picked a 1, 2, or 3 in the Big Sky this year. And then you've got, you know, New Mexico coming in here is a pretty loaded team. And what Richard Pitino's done down there, bringing a lot of transfers, that's a pretty looking team. I didn't get a chance to do that when I was in L.A. Doing the UCLA game for Colorado. But those were two very good games. And I knew those would both be very challenging games for a young basketball team. But I've said before to you, this team is exceptionally talented. I mean, it really is fun to watch what they've got in this team, what Tad has assembled. But they don't know what they don't know. And so you got to learn some hard lessons. And sometimes those lessons come with a loss. And so far, so good. They've been able to fight through, you know, periods of not so good play because they don't understand, you know, the continued intensity you have to have and taking care of the basketball and those kind of things. And so far, they've learned lessons and victories, and they'd like to keep doing that. Because once they get back, you know, as good as the field is in this tournament, once they get back, remember what happens with Pac-12 play this year. You play conference games early. They've got Stanford coming to town. They've got to go to number 2 UCLA. They've got Kansas and Tennessee coming to town. And so they've got a heck of a schedule coming up. They're jumping into the deep end of the pool very quickly when they get back to the Virgin Islands. So this is going to be a very good warm-up, and it'll be a great test to see if through those first 3 games they've learned some lessons now and can play some better basketball. If they're able to come back with, you know, a Paradise Jam championship and then jump into those list of games I just mentioned, it's going to be, I think, a CU fan certainly going to be very excited about that.
Well, a guy I remember you talking about this guy 2 years ago saying, hey, watch out for this guy. He's going to be really good. But that's, of course, Keyshawn Barthelemy. It's been fun to follow him so far. And obviously last game out, I mean, he was pretty sharp, pretty efficient too, 9 of 12 and then ultimately 22 points. But I remember you talking to us about this guy early on saying, look out, this guy's going to be one that's going to be one to watch out for.
Yeah. It, you know, 2 years ago when he came in here, he came in and sat out that season redshirted. Then he played behind McKinley last year, and there was certainly a learning curve. And, you know, what he is, he's a scoring point guard. I don't know if he's a natural point guard, but he's a scoring point guard, where McKinley was a distributing point guard, okay, who could score. Keyshawn's got a scorer's mentality. Think in recent years of Skia Booker. He's kind of got that mentality about him, and then he's got to also distribute the ball, which is why I think ultimately maybe by the end of the season you could see K.J. Simpson, the highly regarded point guard they brought in, who's backing up Barthelemy, maybe get a lot more minutes, maybe even be in the starting lineup and having a, you know, Keyshawn either coming off the bench as their first guy off the bench, or you know, maybe those two starting together back there, because, you know, he's just got that mentality where he finds points on the court all the time. So there are other aspects of his game he's got to work out, but he's extremely athletic. He got great hops to him. We saw him throw one down the other night, and you know, he's got just that mindset of finding the rim all the time. And so, yeah, he's been awful fun to watch so far.
Yeah, no question about it. And this Buffs team should be fun all season long. But like you said, they're going to have some growing pains. They're going to have some stretches there that'll be tight. So we'll see if this group can grow up pretty quickly. On the football side of things, well, that UCLA game, I mean, it looked really good in that first half, a 20-point third quarter from UCLA, though. Ultimately,
about the first half. What do you say?
Let's just talk about the first half of that game and basketball. Let's just rewind and just keep doing that. I think that we'd be good. What happened in that second half, though, Mark?
Well, and, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, Coach Barnett looked at me as we went to the halftime commercial break, and he looks at me and says, I don't like what I'm seeing. And if you remember, late in that half, they're up 20-7. There's about, 57 seconds left. And UCLA got the ball and just went bang, bang, bang down the field and kicked a field goal as time expired. And there were some X's and O's things that were beginning to show themselves about that point in time. And Oregon really adjusted phenomenally, I thought, in that ball game, and began to run the ball very effectively, which they had all season long. It's not the first half of the ball game. And they stopped shooting the foot. If you remember that first half of that, they had some you know, off-the-mark passes by DTR. They had some bad penalties, untimely penalties. So they did a bunch of things to really help Colorado out. And the Buffs took advantage of them in large part. And not totally. They traded a field goal for a touchdown at one point. But, you know, you could tell there were some leaks. As Gary likes to say to me on occasion, we're leaking oil, right? And he said there were some problems. He didn't like what he was seeing from a strategic standpoint as that game was unfolding. And boy, oh boy, did UCLA take advantage of it in the second half.
Yeah, no question about it. Now the Buffs looking to try to finish this off on a positive note. They got 2 games left going up against, as our wonderful producer back there, Michael said, his Washington team. And then you got Utah to finish this thing out. So they're just looking for those positives. How, you know, aside from that second half in the UCLA game, Mark, it kind of feels like we were starting to see that. And Brendan Lewis had given us some of those positives to get excited about.
Yeah, I think so, and that's what was so disappointing. So, you know, in the first two quarters of that game in Los Angeles, you saw a continuation of that. The offense was moving the ball relatively effectively. Brandon made some nice passes. They ran the ball relatively well. In fact, Derek Brassard had over 100 yards in the first half of that game, and then it all dried up in the second half. So you've got a Washington team that comes in limping, obviously, this weekend, and they don't have a coach, and all the things are going on with that. It's a great opportunity. It's, you know, senior day game, final home game, all that. Because then you got to go on what I think it might be the best team, certainly in the South, and Utah's going to give Oregon a run for its money as to who's the best team of the Pac-12 right now. But then you got Utah on the road in Salt Lake City, which can be an awful tough challenge. So I think, you know, you really got a shot this weekend to take advantage of this opportunity, you know, finish out your home schedule on a win, feel good about that, see what happens in Salt Lake City next week, and then, you know, you head off into the offseason looking to build upon that. So, great opportunity. We'll see what happens.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, I know you got a roll. You're a busy man. I did tweet out that I'm having you on, so the retweet, you got to get in the inner circle. We need you in the inner circle. It's got to get there.
I thought I was in the circle, but apparently not. So I'll retweet and see if I can get in the circle.
You got to get in the social media inner circle. I mean, that's if you're not in the social media inner circle, what are you in? You know, I mean, that's
this
the
is
thing.
Kind of like meet the Fockers here. I mean, either you're in the circle or you're not in the circle. I thought I was, but apparently I wasn't. Yeah. I feel like Greg Focker right now. You know that?
Well, we're gonna do what it takes to get you in there, my friend. All right, I'm begging
Love
you.
It.
All right, Mark, we'll let you go, my friend. We'll be looking out for you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, so there's a weird thing on Twitter. And I've had a lot, like, Mark freaking Johnson. He's the voice of the Buffs. I want to be in his circle. But there's a thing on Twitter. Michael, I don't know if you've seen it. But it's like algorithms and stuff. So you go click it, and you enter in your Twitter address, whatever. Comes out, and it shows, like, three circles surrounding your profile. And it's basically people, if the algorithms are correct, that retweet your stuff a lot, that you tweet about a lot, that you get likes from, or you like their tweets, that's what it is. So if you look at mine, you see a lot of my insiders on there. And I'm actually pretty shocked here. I don't even know where the hell it is. But Mark Johnson's not on there. I mean, I tweet about Mark all the time. Every single week I tweet that we got Mark Johnson on. So I'm shocked by that. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find it. It's way down there. Well, I'll never find it. But if you want to get in the inner circle, you gotta retweet. That's what you gotta retweet. You gotta like the stuff, and someday maybe you get in the whole show inner circle, and then that's how it is. Oh man, we got a lot of text on this one. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day: would you like to see Teddy Bridgewater back with the Broncos next season? We're gonna talk about that on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.